You know, when you think about the early church and they would see Jesus and they would see his miracles and they would follow him, and that's what they had to follow him with. They didn't have wonderful volumes. They didn't have books and books of teachings. They didn't have all of the years of revelation, and they didn't have all of that. Now, sometimes people say, oh, if I'd have just been with Jesus, if I just could have seen Jesus, you know, that would have made it all different. But if you're honest about that, you think, how did they go on? You know, they would be together. They would come together. We come together. There's a reason that we come together. We come together to get into the presence, the corporate worship of God. We come together to be encouraged. We come together if we're paying attention. The Lord speaks to us. I mean, he does. You know, I go to the jail, and each time there's four different pods, and so there's really four different messages. I'm always amazed to hear how God changes things for each pod, and then I'm amazed when they say, how do you know what went on this week? And I say, I don't know what went on this week. I don't know what went on just before you came here from the pod. I don't know, but God does, and God speaks to those things. And this is the thing. God speaks to you about things that you need to know. The Holy Spirit speaks to you, and he may speak to you things that either do come out of my mouth or I just come in from the Spirit of God. It doesn't really make any difference. Receive the word engrafted. When people say, well, we want to be like the early church, and the early church just had to believe. And yeah, they had miracles. So do you. You do. We have plenty to convince us of the greatness of God. Take a deep breath. That's plenty. Do you know what all went on when you took that deep breath? Everything, for one thing, your body can process that oxygen. Well, that's not such a big deal. Okay, now hold your breath for about 5 minutes. I'll tell you when you can breathe again. Oh. See, you'd be appreciating that breath if you were to do that, wouldn't you? Yeah. But you see, there are so many things that God does that we just don't even pay attention to what he does. And because we don't pay attention to that, then when something else comes up, we don't realize that it's just as easy for God. It's just as easy for God to help by many or by few. It's just as easy for God to heal and deliver. It's just as easy for God. It's just not a problem for God. It's a problem for us to trust. Doesn't have to be, though, does it? We really could. You can't go wrong having blind trust for God. Blind faith in God. God says, get understanding, but while you're getting understanding, just trust. Anybody here that understands everything? Isaiah, you do. You're taking it to Nebraska, right? You're going there with full understanding. Oh, I don't think so. You thought so when you were 16. Yeah. You know, we need. You know, God says, "Let's reason together. Let's consider these things. Just consider some things." When God spoke with Job, he said, Job, did you give me advice when I made everything? Where were you when all that was going on, Job? By the time he got all done, Job said, "Whoa, I just had an epiphany. I just had an epiphany. Now I know you. And now that I know you, I just want to know you more." What a precious place that is for us to come to where we just want to know him more. Trust him for everything he says and just know him more. I had a call this week. I don't know how many of you remember Destiny, but she's the daughter of a couple of folks down in Fort Thompson, and they came for prayer. And she, when they came for prayer, she was, the doctors were not, they just really didn't give her much hope to live very long. Kidneys were quitting, liver function was bad, I don't know what all. It was a list of things, and I didn't grasp the list, we just prayed. And so over time, we've been conversing, and she called me. Usually it's a short text, you know, and each time I know then that she is still alive. And this time she called, and she said, "I just wanted to share my good news with you." She said, "I'm down to 225 pounds, which I don't even know what she weighed before that. Kidneys functioning, liver's functioning, everything's fine. She's doing great." You know, God is good. Now, I mentioned to them that it would have been, you know, that it would be good to see them more often. Yeah, we keep wanting to get up there. Now, I know that they get to Rapid and they get to Sioux Falls and they get everywhere, they just don't get to church. You know, but that isn't any prerequisite to getting prayer. They got there, you know, Bob Seger has that song, "Take Them Old Records Off the Shelf. I sit and listen to them by myself." You know, faith in God is an amazing thing. If you take it off the shelf, it just works. It just works. Sometimes it takes some activating. It's like Bob working on old engines, you know. Sometimes old engines just, you know, nobody, they shouldn't even work, but a little work and a little oil and a little something and they'll fire up. Because I've got an old lawnmower that sat for 2 years because the wheel broke and it was just sitting with its nose underneath my old trailer over here, and I decided, I remember seeing a wheel, and I found the wheel, and I stuck the wheel on it, and opened up the gas tank, and it kind of looked a little bit like goo in there, but I just dumped some gas in, pulled it 2 times, and I mowed with it. It just worked. You know, and really the only reason that it did that was because I thought it would work. And I thought it would work just because it always has worked. And so I didn't try it before I went and looked everywhere to try to find the wheel to put on it. I didn't do any of that. I got the wheel on first because I was pretty sure it would work. And the first 2 times I pulled it, nothing did happen. But that was when I looked and I saw that there really wasn't gas, just goo on the bottom of the tank. Now I know, we all know that I shouldn't have just left goo in there. I should have put something in there and cleaned that out and dumped it out. And, you know, I mean, I should have done it right, but I just wanted to see if it would start. And I'll probably still be using that in a long, long time. Well, you know, God is amazing. He doesn't hold anything against us. He doesn't say, "Oh, you haven't bothered with me." He just rejoices that we take it off the shelf. Faith in God has a tremendous shelf life, folks. It just does not quit. What happens is when faith is on the shelf for too long, we quit going to the library. We just don't go there. Somehow we get the idea, we fall for the lies that say, "Well, you know, if God wants it to happen, that's the way it is. That's just, you know, just must be the time." You know, Well, maybe. I don't know. I don't know about that. I really don't. But I know that I always have this twitch in my spirit that goes off when somebody starts trying to tell me that it was God's plan for something bad. But very seldom do you hear anybody say it was God's plan for something good. Boy, was I lucky. You know? Oh, God has good plans for me. Not very often. No. Don't be getting crazy about that kind of stuff. And yet that's what God says. So why shouldn't we repeat what God says? What happens sometimes with faith is people, you know, I mean, okay. We know that it is good forever because we believe, don't we? We believe that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It's always there and it always works. And deep down inside, we realize that that's the greatest miracle of all. Don't we? It's an amazing thing. And yet, people just take that for granted that, well, that's going to work always, but nothing else is going to work always. And what does that say about God? He has only one promise that is forever? No, they're all forever. But, you know, for a long time, that promise of salvation sits on people's library shelves. They don't even activate that. They walk past that to a lot of different books in the library and don't even notice it, really. I mean, how many books are in a big library that you never notice? You know? How often do you go to the library? Not very often. When I was a kid, we did. Didn't know really where to find things, did we? They were there. Even today, in our wonderful world of technology, when you Google something, and it's one page of how many thousands of pages, how many of us go through every Googled thing? We don't. We will try to refine our search to find that one thing that we're looking for, right? And how many of you have Googled something and just gave up on finding what you were looking for? Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like, what, are you stupid? Don't you know what I'm looking for? Do you think I'm going to go through 10,000 pages and check everything, you know? But you see, Google has their own order that they bring up to you. And if it's not the one you're looking for, ultimately, I mean, believe me, I've quit many times. I don't have time to look through all of those references. But how many of you have spent more time looking for a reference than you really needed to? And how many looked one more time when you were thinking, this is wasting my time? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you might find it. You know? And then how many times have you hit it and boom, the one you wanted was right there on top? The perfect one. Now, how many of you have Googled it, found the perfect one, but then looked for a couple more just in case? Now I'm talking about you're looking for things that you want to find, and now I want to find it at a better price. Okay, if you haven't done that, I've done that. Now, how many of you have Googled it, found the right one, the perfect one, right away, went looking for another one, and couldn't remember where you found the one you were looking for? Is this flowing together for you? Yeah. The Holy Spirit within us, we get the right search right away. But then we think maybe there's something more. And we take another reference, and the other reference isn't the one the Holy Spirit led us to in the first place. And it will lead us down a long road. It only takes a tiny, 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 tiny amount of doubt to open the enemy's path to come with a multitude of other searches. And when we start following those, we got to find our way back. Now, we know, the Holy Spirit within us, we know the way back. We know exactly where it is. We've been to it, but it sat on the shelf. Another thing that happens to oftentimes to people is they get that faith, and faith comes. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's all one volume. But people get tricked into dissecting it. And so now, instead of faith, we've got a volume of faith. We got the ones that don't work all the time, the ones that don't work at all anymore, the ones that we can just leave out completely, until the faith book that really has anything that we will apply is about one page. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But everything else is in a volume. You know, and when you got so many things to look at, what happens? And people just pull back into, well, I'm saved. Well, being saved is good. I like being saved. But me being saved does not do the kingdom of God much good if that's all that I believe that I got. The devil believes that I'm saved, but he trembles at the thought of me putting that whole book together and releasing it into the world around me. But the encouraging part of this, folks, is that faith has an eternal shelf life. When we call, he does answer. But then we've got to have faith that he answers. And so we have to remain in faith. We have to stand in faith, believing. And not entertaining ideas like, well, it just doesn't work for me. It doesn't always work. It's, you know, we've got to erase all those things and just Paul said, I know in whom I believe. We believe. We believe and therefore we speak. We don't speak of things that we've just heard about. We speak of things that we've handled. And we have the opportunity to handle them too. To hold them and to caress them and to have relationship with them. We've got that. It's ours. It's promised in the Word of God. But what the enemy tries to do is get us to pull out the book, look up one thing, set it back on the shelf. But the Bible says remain in faith. And we're talking about faith in God. The one true God. In Isaiah, God's talking to him once and he says, okay, everybody listen. What is your idol telling you? Has your idol ever said anything to you? Has your idol ever done anything for you? He said, if you think about it, no, they can't do anything. They're dead. You make them as nice as you can be so that you can look at them, but they don't say anything, they don't do anything, they're worthless. I, on the other hand, says the Lord, I can do all things. And I'm going to do some things, and you're going to see that I do some things, and then you're going to know that I am God, and ask them what they can do. What he does is try to get us to see things clearly. Think about it. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. The Word which is able to save you, the Word which is able to keep you, the living Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Allow it to become life, not just words. We can't just dismiss the Word of God as words. When we just dismiss the Word of God as words, that's where we come up with, I know, but. Hey, I know as well as anyone that sometimes it does not appear to be working the way that I want it to work. But it doesn't matter how it appears. If I keep believing, He'll appear. And that's what we need, is for Him to appear. And not give up until He appears. And know that He appears. He appeared, He was, He is, and He always will be. Doesn't matter where you or I have our faith sitting, He is faithful. Christians, we need to take the faith off the shelf. It's not like Googling something and not being able to find it, and you just close out the window and say, well, I can't find it, that's it. He is faithful even when we are not. That's what the Bible says. Thank God for that. He's faithful to save us. He's faithful to forgive us. And He doesn't forgive us because we deserve to be forgiven. He forgives us because we ask. And He says, yeah. Thought you'd never ask. Don't ever doubt the shelf life of faith. Don't ever doubt that you can stir it up and make it work. I was cleaning up around my mother's old garage, and making it look all spruced up, and moved a whole bunch of junk, and there's about 5 1-gallon cans of paint that have been sitting out there for 4 winters, you know? And I think I'm going to resist the urge to open them and see if they're any good. Just because I don't think they should be, and because I suspect that when I go to try to open them, the cans are going to fall apart and I'm going to have a big mess, you know. But they've just been out there because they were determined to be no good a long time ago. My dad might have thrown them out. It could be 20 years they've been sitting there. I'm not sure. Faith's not like that. It's never useless. It's never hopeless. God is never without power. God is never without wisdom. But this is the confidence that we have to have. Don't lose your confidence in God. Don't lose your confidence in His love. Don't lose your confidence in that what He has said He will do. Stir up your faith. Get that confidence up so that your countenance says, God is able. That your countenance says, my God reigns. So that your countenance says, I will never be deserted. I will never be forsaken. So that your countenance reveals the glory of God, your confidence in Him. And that He is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. He's so faithful. There's some things that we're just going to have to say God is faithful about without understanding all the workings that are going on, everything that's going on. I've told you before, I've spent 29 of almost 30 years trying to figure out how in the world he got my attention. How he managed to overcome the absolute deadness that I had placed upon any thought about faith or any realness of him. How in a moment, in an instant, he could do, and I can't figure it out, and I just don't want to know anymore. He can write me a letter. It just doesn't make any difference how he did it, because I always come to the same conclusion. Praise God! Praise God! I don't have to understand. I won't promise you that I won't have a prayer time with him again where I'm going, how did you do that, God? See, because I want to learn a trick. I want to know the trick that he used. I want that trick. But it's not mine, it's his. The Holy Spirit shed abroad in our hearts whatever it is. But the very fact that he found me tells me he can find anybody. And tells me that he loves everybody. And tells me that he's no respecter of persons and that everything that he says is true. And if something is not working, it's up to me to Google it. It's up to me to seek him out. It's up for me to apply the balm. It's up to me to apply the faith. It's up to me to declare those things that are not as though they are and just look for them to appear. It's up to me because I know he can. But then we have to fight a good fight of faith in order to do that. And we fight to win. And unlike everything else in life, football games, lotteries, all of those other things that are out there, you know, we are guaranteed victory in Christ Jesus. This is the victory, even our faith. And so we trust and we believe and we know these things to be true. And because we know these things to be true, our faith doesn't need a shelf life. Because it's not on the shelf. We bear in ourselves these gifts. We bear these gifts in earthen vessels. The Spirit that dwells in you richly. Do you know that the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell any way but richly? He doesn't dwell in some one way and some another way. He is God in you. Able to do everything that God has said that God will do. And as we stir up those gifts in us, then we begin to understand. And because we begin to understand that we have hope. Why not me? Why not? Why would God leave you out? Why would he? When he says that he wouldn't leave anybody out. But the enemy says, well, you know, this just isn't God's plan for you. We say, well, I guess this just isn't God's plan for me. Why not? Did God say that? Did God tell you that? I mean, I'm telling you that if God tells you that, then I'm in perfect agreement with you. But I would still wonder why God told you that. Not long enough to spend a lot of time thinking about it. But if somebody says God told them, unless they say God told me that your wife should have an affair with me or something like that, I probably would rebuke that. I don't think that I would agree with that. You know, I would think they ought to think over that. But most anything else that people think, you know, if it's their personal thing and it's not leading them into sin, it's just leading them in, well, I guess it does. It leads them into the greatest sin of all, unbelief and doubt. I would always try to encourage people, wait a minute, you know. Get that faith off the shelf. Stir it up. Stir up the gift that was given to you by the laying on of hands. When the Lord put his hand upon you and saved you. When you called upon the Lord and he heard you. And he rescued you. When you called and said, oh, Holy Spirit, take possession of my life. Dwell in me richly. And God said, absolutely, that's it, let's go. Let's go. Isn't that what Jesus did with the disciples sometimes? He'd be teaching them for a while, then he'd say, okay, let's go. And they would be going, scratching their heads, you know. He'd feed 5,000 and they'd think he was mad that they didn't bring bread. He'd say, let's go over this again, you know. Okay, we fed how many? And how many loaves did you have left? And we fed this many? And how many loaves did you have left? Don't you get it? I'm not talking about bread. I'm talking about the leaven of the Pharisees. Don't act like the Pharisees. Don't doubt. Don't fear. Don't do those things. Sometimes he said, you got little faith. But he didn't write them off. He just pointed it out to them. But then he went on to say to them, I tell you what, if you've got faith the size of a mustard seed, just a little bitty one, you'll say to this mountain, be removed. So even though he told them they had a little faith, he told them even your little faith will do you good if you'll put it to work. What happens when you put it to work? It'll grow. So here's the thing. We've got to know, folks. We've got to know that God is who God says he is. We've got to know that so that even if we have put our faith on the shelf, even if we have been fooled into leaving a part of it aside, we got to know that it has a shelf life. That lasts forever. We got to know that we can stir it up. We've got to know that it's right there. We've got to know it. See, the Pharisees, they said to Jesus, oh, well, we don't know. When he asked them, okay, here's the deal. You tell me. Did the words of John, did the power of John, was that God or not? They knew the answer, but it wasn't convenient for them to say the answer. And since it wasn't convenient for them to say the answer, they said, we don't know. And he said, okay, then I'm not going to tell you. But then he went on to tell them a story that basically told them. Listen, it's not always convenient to stand in faith. It's always best. But it's not always convenient. Because it wars against your doubts and it wars against what you see as reality and it wars against it. It's just not convenient. But there's nothing about the Bible that says that it has to be convenient. Remember, there are things that must be, that can be, that should be, that aren't. There are things that are meant to be, that aren't. Because God doesn't force anything. But the fact that they can be, that they should be, that they are meant to be, and even things that must be that aren't. God would that everyone be saved. Everyone must be saved, but everybody's not saved. Right? And so there's all of those things that aren't, but they can be. And we can enter into them, but they're a choice. And so it's our choice. The Pharisees, they made a choice when Jesus said, okay, tell me. They said, we don't know. Lots of people say, we don't know. Well, we don't know about that gospel stuff. We don't know about healing. We don't know about deliverance. We don't know about forgiveness. We don't know about giving. I don't know about that. Well, I just don't know about that. And as long as our response to God's truth is, I don't know about that, he says, well, then neither will I tell you. But it doesn't change the truth. The fact that not everyone is saved does not change the fact that all who call upon his name will be saved. The fact that not everyone is healed does not change the fact that he says, I sent my word and healed your diseases. The fact that not everyone is delivered does not change the fact that the Lord delivers. The fact that there are blind people does not change the fact that God gives them eyes to see, or deaf people ears to hear. It doesn't change the fact of what God can do. And the more confidence that we grow in the truth, the more we'll know the truth, and the truth will make us free and make those free around us. That God is able. We've got to know. And when we know something, it's good news. We've got to know. Do you know? Do you know where it is on the shelf if it's on the shelf? You ever just all of a sudden know where something is that you've been looking for? And you can't wait to go look for it, but maybe it's not convenient to go look for it right at that moment. And you just, you know. And because you know, changes everything. You just know. And because you know, your countenance declares that you know. And then once you go and you find it, you just want to tell somebody. Like the person who went and found the one lost sheep. Look, I found my sheep. Or the lady that found the lost coin. Look, I found my coin. Be excited. Allow the Spirit of God to stir it up. Rejoice, your redemption draweth nigh. Blessed are they who put their trust in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. Blessed are they who put their trust in the Lord. You put your trust in things that you know. And again, don't forget that faith has a tremendous shelf life. It's eternal. And so, when we come to ourselves and we remember this and we declare, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, we shake off the fog, we clear away the cobwebs, and it's all good because God is good. Folks, God is good. This we can know. And we have. We are so fortunate. We have a wealth of revelation, of years and years of revelation that people have had. And some of it's 300 years old, and it's as fresh today as it was 300 years ago when somebody had it because it got forgotten somewhere along the way. God has all these promises for us. And they're ready. They are ready for whosoever will call. Now we can let the enemy rob us. We can. And we don't like it, and we don't mean to. And it's not what we want to do. But if we're honest, we'll say, "Whoa, why am I letting the enemy rob me? Why am I doing? Have you ever come to something where you finally said, what was I thinking? What was I thinking?" Well, this morning I hope that you're thinking. I hope that you're thinking that what you knew, there is more to know. And what you don't know, you can just get up and go with the truth. Trusting God. Believing God above all things. Because if you have just a little bit of faith and you put it to work, that little bit of faith will be like a giant magnet dragging everything right back into one spot. And when you've gathered yourself together, as Jesus said to Peter, when you recover, strengthen the brethren. Father, in Jesus' name, I'm so grateful to you that you are true. And even when we don't know how true you are, you're still true. And when we just trust you, the truth is rolling like a mighty river towards us, through us, around us. That little trickle that gets our toe wet, that gets to be up to our ankles and up to our thighs and finally deep enough to swim in, Lord. This is what we want. We want to swim. We want to swim in your river of life. And we want to help others to see that the water is fine. Because you want everyone to be saved. And we want everyone to come to a knowledge of the truth. And in order for us to help others come to a knowledge of the truth, then we've got to walk in it. And Jesus, you said this is the way. Walk in it and you'll just lead us. Holy Spirit, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.